Welcome to Wake Up with AI, the podcast where human-powered meets AI-assisted. Join your hosts, Chris Carolan, Nico Lafakis, and George B. Thomas, as we dive deep into the world of artificial intelligence. From the latest AI news to cutting-edge tools and skill sets, we are here to help business owners, marketers, and everyday individuals unlock their full potential with the power of AI. Let's get started.
Good morning. Happy Monday, December 2nd, 2024. It is time to wake up with AI. George B. Thomas, Nico Lafakis here with me. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, sir. Doing well. Had a wonderful holiday. Holiday full of news, full of updates, and feature releases. So I'm doing really good.
I, too, enjoyed the time off. I did a little work here and there, to be honest with everybody. Like, let's call a spade a spade. But it was the stuff that I wanted to do. But I also spent a lot of time just watching, binge watching. I finished my Fear of the Grateful Dead, or Walking Dead. Sorry, not Grateful Dead. That would be a unique band moving forward. But then also the Daryl Dixon spinoff of that as well. So I'm nice and rested, and I'm ready to talk about AI.
Yeah, it was a good holiday for sure. I got to see Wicked last night, and yeah. I love, especially as it relates to marketing and how you get into people's minds and like stick. Like, I was introduced there like 20 years ago, right? And at some point was listening to that album at least daily, right? It's been a long time since then. I could still sing along with every song in the movie. I didn't because there were other people around.
Oh, you should have. When I went with my daughters, they were singing, and I was like, this is wonderful. Now, I will tell you, Chris, I did take my son over the weekend and Nico to Gladiator 2. There was no singing during that movie, by the way.
Well, that was one of my top five movies, the original. Big fan. Haven't seen this one yet. AI news, Nico. Let's get back in the swing of things here.
The news is honestly pretty thick right now. I mean, 4 days is a lot for what's been going on. Let's put it this way, the plateau that people thought things were at is definitely not that, right? In terms of like what it's supposed to represent, it was supposed to represent this point at which like, oh, maybe we haven't quite gotten as far as we thought. Maybe we should have a much better grasp of how we're going to make the advance and that we shouldn't have the scaling issues that we do. To be honest with you, I didn't think that they were going to run into any sort of scaling issues. Kind of doesn't seem like they have. It's just a matter of where you're scaling things, I suppose. The amount of power behind it hasn't changed. So in light of all of this, the jump for AI security and safety has like really started to heat up, go through the roof. And so much so, I look at these things in terms of how I gauge like how asleep people might be and where everybody is at in terms of like knowledge on this stuff. There's people like myself, it's like I'm scrounging for every little crumb of information that I can find related to like what's the latest and greatest. And then there's, you know, people who are like standby, like watching, you know, talks and things of that nature. Then there's people who are kind of like dipping into it every once in a while, all the way down the line. You know, it's been pretty interesting to watch like BBC jump in there real quick, and then followed by like, I think it was like MSNBC. I was seeing more of the financial sectors as it was relating directly to stock jumps. But then eventually 60 Minutes jumped on board, a lot of other bandwagons. And so finally this morning, and I'm sure it happened yesterday, Fox News. They had their first full-blown segment, surprisingly, with Sam Altman for like 10 minutes. And I say surprisingly because I think most all of us should know by now that Elon is the right-hand man, as it is, for AI for the White House for the next 4 years. So it was just a little surprising that they went with Sam over Elon. But then again, OpenAI is a little bit, you know, just a tiny bit more popular and famous than Grok and XAI. Oh, so
just a small bit.
Smidgen. That's definitely getting stepped up. But I think the biggest development to come out of last week is the jump with regards to Claude and like what is happening just with like what are the advances that are going on there? Why is nobody talking about it? What is being done?
My God, there are so many things where I'm like, Claude, you are stepping up your game, sir. I'll let you continue on, but I have some thoughts around the Claude. There's three things particularly around Claude, but But go ahead, Nico.
So one of the bigger aspects of what's happened lately is that Claude now has styles that you can choose from. And it has some default styles, and then it has some additional styles that you can create. These, now this is outside of, if you've been using Claude, you should know that you also have a means of telling it what type of work that you do. So if you go into your settings, you'll see what best describes your work, and you can sort of tell it what that is. And then you also now have this personal preferences for Claude. And this is all like beta features. If you guys are signed up for 4 beta features with Claude, then you'll have this. You know, for myself, you can see that essentially I do some coding in HubSpot. So I want it to automatically understand that anytime I'm working with code or doing something related to custom coded actions, that I want Claude to immediately create an artifact that I can just save them to projects that we're working on or copy and paste whatever the answer is to wherever I need it. And so now, most especially whenever I'm requesting information specifically, requesting something that is in the form of like, oh, you know, user needs pile of information, that comes out in an artifact now, as opposed to just a normal straight Claude response. And so, you know, of course, I've told it I wanted to be straightforward and things, and just, you know, telling it to be a little bit more personable. And I love using the phrasing with it or being experimental with it and saying like, wherever you feel like it, you make the preference. I don't want to have to necessarily tell you when to and when not to use my name, so to speak.
So I just want to throw some things that are on my brain around that piece that you're talking about, because mine, while you were referencing coding, mine is around like writing, and mine says marketing as well. But the first thing is I've contemplated on creating a Claude account just for Superhuman Framework, not a project, a Claude, because then I could be like, oh, we're human resources, and the context of human resources to that. Anyway, I digress. But you know, in mine, I have things like not clickbait, but perspective shifting truth bombs that demand attention and drive action, right? I've got things like content architecture, one clear H1, logical H2 sections that support the main topic, H3 subsections for enhanced scannability, meta description that drives clicks, and alt text for all images. So there's these things that you can put in. I want everybody to understand, Nico, how important what you just said to what they're going to do with their AI, you know, assistant or projects or Claude in general. So, okay, I'll shut up.
No, you're right on, because that's the one of the things I was just about to bring up is that the adoption rate of what's going on with this. So you've all worked with GPT a little bit, or hopefully have worked with it a little bit. And so you understand there's custom GPTs, there's custom instructions, there's all that kind of stuff. But probably one of the greatest hangups has been writing style and getting it to write and sound like you, and getting it to legitimately write and sound like you. And one of the things that I've noticed when it comes to Claude is when you're building out styles, there is a build time. It's really minuscule. It's not a lot. It's like a few seconds, but there is a level of reasoning that is going on underneath there, I believe, with the information that you're giving it. And I don't know if that goes so far as to, let's say, build out its own sort of subset or something, like build out its own persona, something like that, in order to help with that, or if it's just, you know, a software thing that it has to do, but it feels more like it's taking what you're giving it into consideration. And at the same time, the output seems more consistent with what it is that you're requesting. So by default, you're going to be given 3 different styles: concise, explanatory, and formal. And if you've been using Claude lately, you'll know that the use has gone up so much so that most every response has been forced into being concise in order to just handle the amount of traffic on the servers. That speaks to what I was going to say earlier, which is that the adoption rate on using Claude at an enterprise level has increased 30%. Not on ChatGPT, the enterprise adoption of AI LLM systems has decreased on OpenAI's front by over 10% in the last quarter and increased by 30% for Anthropic. There's a lot of core reasons why that's the case, 2 of which are the most important, in my opinion. 1, they lead the field in safety. They literally set the standards. They are the most rigorous and stringent with their own model, and it is the forefront of what they do before they do anything. They're the only team I know of. I'm sure that Google might have some lying around, but they don't talk about it. They're the only team I know of that has psychologists on board that are actually working with and working on how the model is going to interact and react with people, given what the developments are that they're making. Second to that, the model by default does not train on your data, doesn't train on anything you upload, doesn't train on anything you build in a project. You are, I don't know how else to put it, like everything is just data safe, I suppose. You could think of it that way. It's the most trustworthy, I can very honestly say that. It is the most trustworthy language model that you can use by way of like data safety, right? I'm not saying that it doesn't hallucinate or anything like that. Every model is capable. Unfortunately, we've gone from a point at which the model was hallucinating because it didn't have the information to a point now where the model could hallucinate because it's capable of bullshitting you. So you got to watch out for that too, because there's been plenty of examples where you could tell a model, hey, what's the color of the sky? And it'll say blue. You'll say, actually, no, it has no color because, you know, it's a refraction of the blue light that comes from the water in the ocean. It's not really blue. It's really has no color. It's transparent. Oh, yeah, you're right. Now, that is correct. That is a scientifically correct answer that I corrected it with. But everybody in the, you know, everybody knows the sky's blue. Like, we just refer to it that way, right? So you could tell it at that point, like, you know what? Technically, it's prismatic. It's black. Sometimes you can't even tell. It's just this weird thing. It depends on the spectrum of light you're looking at it in. Yeah, actually, you're right. You know, it can definitely go along to get along. I think that's a better way of putting it. But that being said, I think that's why these tools and these features work so much better with Claude, is because of the fact that they are tailoring what they do to enterprise. They are tailoring this for, you know, mass adoption at a professional level. Let's just put it that way. Now, GPT is definitely gaining mass adoption at an amateur level, but just on a street level, I guess. On like your average user level, right? Like, so on the kids going to school and that kind of stuff. But in terms of like who's using it in the office, like administratively, it's probably going to, you know, this is the Microsoft Apple of our time. Let's put it that way.
So here's one thing, because I wanna skip into a thing that was eye-opening for me around Claude versus GPT. So one of the things I loved about, or love, ooh, interesting that I used loved. Anyway, one of the things about GPT is when the Google Drive thing came out and I could like take a document, get into a conversation and just roll with it. And here's the thing, when I was doing it over there, my mindset, and by the way, my mindset could be wrong. My mindset was that I was just basically uploading a document. It paid attention to what that document was. It used it for context, but then the story was kind of over. Like, that was it. Now, I read something, because obviously Anthropic, Claude now does Google Docs. And I read something, and it made me wonder, oh, is that how GPT is using it? Or is this different? And then I jumped to the conclusion of, well, how many people who have used it there won't think it's a big deal here. And let me explain what I mean. If you go to support.anthropic.com and then a bunch of words, you can Google this. It literally says important notes. By the way, important notes. Google Docs added to chats and project knowledge are synced directly from Google Drive, ensuring you're always working with the latest version. Meaning, if you add information to a document, it's going to look at the new information in the document, which then this says, okay, so basically what I hear is that's almost a little bit of like, I can train it on my own information, have a method to my madness around the Google Drive folder and documents that I'm going to use, and a way that I'm going to update those documents, because then I'm updating my project. Important notes synced. Anyway, I'll be quiet.
I mean, I dig it, because like, I'm sure other people might use it in this way. This is a way that I'm not sure that a whole lot of people are doing it yet. I was doing the same thing with projects prior to the Google Drive connection. I was using a project in order to save project output to that project. So like, as you keep going on, now that it's got the drive aspect to it, the book that I'm writing just sits in a singular file. And so all the chapter output just goes right back into that file. So it is constantly in the know of where we're at in, you know, which chapter we're on and where we're at in the chapter of the book. And I don't have to keep like saving little clips anymore. I just boom, boom, and we're dead. We're good.
Google Drive is one way. Syncing from the Google Drive, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm not writing to it from Quantum. Right. Just pulling from it. Yeah.
And now with the MCP stuff, you can make it go.
There we go. There's the other thing.
Because what I found, I started playing with the Google Drive right away, and it was
I want everybody to pay attention to this, right? We were talking about how long it takes to get like AI ready. Please listen to what Chris is gonna say.
If I could just share my screen for this one. But what I was gonna say, like, definitely learning curve about how and when to use all these tools. Because I got excited about Google Drive too, but I'm also a guy that just tries to shove all the context into the knowledge base immediately. And one of the problems I was having, and the difference between syncing to the Google Drive and just uploading a file, right, or adding a text file to the knowledge base, I'm not going to show that here, but it was like an 8% difference of the space it would take up in the knowledge base, which makes sense because there's probably a ton of other information that it has to have to be able to sync it. But, and that's one way. The other update that happened last week, and related to your discussion, like, it's almost like Claude and Anthropic prioritized context at all costs, where like you get that tactical, let's get things done feeling when you use ChatGPT, that it's like, it doesn't matter the context. Let's just, okay, in, out, in, out, in, out, unless you just overload it with context, then it starts doing. Whereas Claude, even as I was testing these tools, right? So the MCP allows you to connect to other systems. And shout out to David Onreg, because I saw this last week, hit the first barrier and was like, oh, it's a developer stuff. I don't have any coding tools. I hit friction and I stopped immediately. And his video showed up on my YouTube yesterday in 18 minutes. It's like exactly how to set it up. And like three times in the video, he's like, you just got to push through. Just take a half hour, push through. This is amazing stuff, amazing capabilities in the hands of people that have never had access to this stuff before, including myself. I didn't have I didn't have Visual Studio on my system. I didn't have any code editor, not a developer, no GitHubs, but was able to follow his directions and then use Claude to troubleshoot my way to getting it done, which felt so awesome. But it got me to a place of connecting to Search, Brave Search API, and GitHub. And I have my own GitHub repo now, which I'd never had before, with a page, right? But I wanted to say for the search, what was interesting, this is where I understand the difference between the two tools, like with ChatGPT, I remember George coming back when this first opened up and he like was able to search for Superhuman Framework and give it a URL, or I don't even know if he gave it a URL, but it came back with just like ChatGPT came back with just like a verbatim, not verbatim, but a good summary, right?
Yeah.
I tried to do the same thing here, and it looks like if there's just not enough information to confirm or like give it enough context, it's not going to say, okay, this one website says this thing, here's the real information. It's like, unless there's enough context for it to understand that it's real information and that it's probably true, it's not just going to give it to you like verbatim, which is awesome to think about, because the power of just being able to publish stuff online and then have it, you know, just go everywhere is definitely a concern. But just to kind of finish the loop here, and this is possible here with MCP, it's basically agents. You can set up an agent system where, please do the following: make a simple HTML page, create a repository, push the HTML page, add some CSS, make an issue, make a branch, make a pull request, all these things in GitHub happening. And this is somebody, I've never used GitHub in my life, ever. I created a profile just so I could start to do this and end up with like this, you know, a basic web page. I didn't even give it anything to use. Like, it's working off knowledge base. I just said like, make a simple page. I didn't even say what kind. It's working from the knowledge base in the project. And this is ridiculous, man. Like,
And that's like, I just, again, I want people to understand, Chris didn't know anything about Visual Studio, didn't know anything about GitHub, didn't know anything about repos, didn't know anything about how to install Node.js, how to run it, any of that stuff. Didn't know any of that 48 hours ago. Does now. Not only does he's like gung-ho. Like, he was just chatting to me last night about, like, oh, man, I'm doing this, and I'm setting this up, and I'm going to do this. That's the effect, guys. Like, that's the effect of having knowledge of something that you didn't before, but the thing that you have knowledge of now is what you have likely wanted to know about for years, but have just either not had the time or the capability or whatever. And now that it's in the palm of your hand, you really, like, this is the time to just absolutely just soak it up with every effort that you have.
Well, and the rate of speed, right? Like, I want the thing, first of all of this is amazing. And what it's doing to empower and enable humans. What I want everybody to understand is, and Chris referenced this, the guy says, just push through for 30 minutes. You know how quick 30 minutes is? You can't even watch an episode of your probably favorite show in 30 minutes. Like, most of the unlock and ability that Chris now has based on pushing through for 30 minutes. I just hope people understand, like, that piece of it.
And that's where, you know, I was thinking about why, like, I mean, you said it in the video, like, this is where everybody drops off like flies, like this step two, right? And I was like, yep, that was me last week. Meanwhile, we use things like, you know, HubSpot and, I mean, websites. We use new things all the time where there's troubleshooting involved. There is learning, like, it doesn't work out of the gate. And you, like, if you have the motivation, you will figure it out. Try to find some motivation with AI. But that being said, like, videos like that are super helpful. That's why we're doing this thing. We're going to be sharing more details about a December 16th workshop, our first AI Wake Up with AI workshop that we're doing in a couple weeks. And that's all we want to do. Like, we want to share what's going on here, because we know a lot of you out there are wanting to do things like this. And my switch from 48 hours, like, on Friday, I think I shared some. It's like, all right, I guess I got to get developers involved again. And then now today, I'm like, nope. I mean, not for that stuff. I still love the developers, and I want to, you know, engage and get all their insights. But there's just these little things that, like, if it's admin work, how about we don't ask any humans to do that stuff anymore? Like, let's do bigger and better stuff. We all can.
Yeah. Everybody needs to realize that everything's changing. I mean, we say that so much, but, like, I'm sitting here looking at my desktop as we're recording this on Riverside, and there is a ChatGPT desktop app pinned to my taskbar. There is a Claude desktop app pinned to my taskbar. The third thing, and they're on the far left side. You know what the left side is? The important side. And right after that is, oh my gosh, that you're going to learn a lot about me, but right after that is Visual Studio. So I have the two AIs and Visual Studio as the first three icons so that I can wake up with AI and get nerdy right from my desktop. Not even have to go to Google Chrome. Not even have to, just right here, right now, let's build. That's what happens when you wake up with AI.
That's a wrap for this episode of Wake Up with AI. We hope that you feel a little more inspired, a little more informed, and a whole lot more excited about how AI can augment your life and business. Always remember that this journey is just the beginning, and that we are right here with you every step of the way. If you love today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a review. You can also connect with us on social media to stay updated with all things AI. Until next time, stay curious, stay empowered, and wake up with AI.